At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. It is Sunday, October 12th, 2025. We're just under a month away from big city elections in Minneapolis and St. Paul. We're a year, 13 months away from an election that puts nearly everybody in Minnesota on the ballot, from senator to governor, the legislature, and all statewide constitutional officers. But as I mentioned last week, we're really going to focus the next couple weeks on the future of the state. I feel as though as we get ready for next year, there's some just base data and facts that we can all agree on. And in this partisan environment, whether it's the shutdown or the special session, wherever we're divided, I think it's important for us to just lay down the facts. Last week, we had Miles Shaver on. He talked about the headquarters economy and the advantages we have in the headquarters economy for dual income households, what those jobs mean to our quality of life, what they mean to our quality of education. And obviously, that's a conversation that we'll continue to have. This week, I'm going to talk to Susan Brower. She's the state demographer. And she is very focused on the slowing growth of Minnesota's population. If you think about it, we have not had strong birth rates across the country, but certainly in the Midwest. The immigration policy of the country has changed, and most of our new workers in Minnesota have come through immigration since 2019. And that included during the pandemic. And we are aging. We now will have more senior citizens in Minnesota than we have school-aged children for the first time in our state's history. So if you put those in perspective and the demographics, it is a headwind. We have some headwinds and we have some tailwinds, but that's a headwind that could change the state. I guess you could say that it's a headwind that other states have as well, and therefore we're not going to be alone. But Minnesota has been the growth engine of the upper Midwest. Minnesota has driven the economy of the upper Midwest in many, many factors consistently for over 50 years. You think about things like AI, you think about things like robotics, and then you look at the way in which people live, where they live in the state. Population is declining in rural areas and infrastructure there is less and less consistent or predictable. Our regional centers continue to grow like Mankato and Duluth, while St. Cloud has some challenges. So those are the things that we need to talk to Susan Brower about. We need to dig in and ask her, where are the kind of warning signs? What do we need to do? And what will it mean for state government? That'll be the first conversation today, and then we'll have the take. But I also want to just kind of run through the headlines and what to watch in the next week ahead. Last week, Governor Walz said he doesn't think he has the votes to get gun control legislation through in a special session. And so he's going to take to town hall meetings. As we get forward to those town hall meetings, I want us to be mindful of what is the construct of those town hall meetings. Are they open to the public? Are they pre-staged? Is the media allowed in? What does it look like? What is the discussion we need to have? And my homework for you as you're listening, what are the other topics we should be talking about at town hall meetings over the next year about the future of the state? This past week, our client partner, the Minnesota Business Partnership, held their annual meeting. And it was a display of all of the things that come from Minnesota and the economic impact it has. Leader Kurt Zellers made a comment that there's going to be a pivot. And he proclaimed that the partnership, a very business economic focus group, will work with the builders of our state, not necessarily dividers. And it made me start to think, maybe we have a shift. Maybe rather than Democrats and Republicans, the shift over the next year or five will be about people who want to build the state in one way and those who want to divide it through politics. Well, regardless of that, what we do know is that the demographics are changing. We're getting older. We don't have as many people moving here. And we need to do something about it through our public systems, through our workforce, in many ways. So when we come back, my guest, Susan Brower, will join me. She's the Minnesota State Demographer. I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830. WCCO.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST. At GRUNS.CO.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Welcome back to Sunday Take. As we continue our series about the future of the state of Minnesota, our headwinds, our tailwinds, what we know and where we're headed. Joining me now is Susan Brower. She's the state demographer. We've had plenty of conversations over the years, but she was at the North Star Summit this past week and talked about some of the demographic headwinds that Minnesota faces now. And what does it mean for the state? What does it mean for workforce, births, deaths, and ultimately, what does it mean for public resources? Susan, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
Let's just start with the State Demographer's Office. I've always been, you know, a data geek and nerd, and so I dig into data and trends. And you kind of have a fun job. You get to watch the movements of the state's people, where we're at. Talk about the office and kind of what your charge is.
Sure. So we help produce population estimates and projections for the state, both state government and for other organizations, nonprofit businesses around the state to plan. So we're projecting the future. We're also analyzing federal sources of data to be able to tell what changes are happening so people can really kind of have a sense for what's coming maybe before it gets here. That's one of the things that demographics is particularly good at, is kind of showing us where things are going. We also help with the decennial census when it comes around. That's another one of our jobs. But generally, our work is to track both how population is changing and how Minnesota as a group is changing over time.
And you've been in this role for over a decade. We've seen a surge of immigration. We've seen some shifts in parts of the state. What are the macro trends that, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years, you've seen that have either, you know, maintained a certain part of the state's economy or population? And then what are the big changes that you're anticipating, and what are we feeling right now?
Sure. So we've been really at an important transition period since I've been in this role. The last 10 years, we've seen us, you know, a number of shifts, including the aging of the baby boomers, the aging of the state, and that's related to population growth in that it kind of dampens the growth when you have more older folks in the state. It's harder to grow fast because you have people in high mortality age groups, is my kind of more sterile way of saying that. We've been watching both how the state has changed into becoming older, but also what the impact of that has been on growth. We've also been tracking the increasing diversity of the state and how that has increased growth, both through you know, births to people of color being born here in Minnesota, or people coming from other states or from abroad. So those are all kind of things that we've been watching.
When you look at, yeah. Keep going. No, keep going.
I was just going to say, in terms of international immigration, it really, you know, it has been an ongoing source of growth for Minnesota over the past several decades. It's waned a little bit here or there, but it's really becoming a more important source of growth to our state.
Let's just start with aging. Is aging common across the states right now? Where does Minnesota sit with an aging population? And is the aging population also impacting the parts of the state that people are in or not having younger people? For instance, we've just seen some shifts from, you know, rural areas, regional centers to the Twin Cities. You know, anecdotally, as I travel the state, I see aging people in greater Minnesota staying in their homes longer or not being able to move, you know, closer to family, and wondered if how we stack up as a state when we're aging compared to other states. And are there any kind of outlier facts in Minnesota?
Minnesota is almost the median in terms of the compared to the national. So we don't stand out as particularly old or particularly young, but I will say that many of our Midwestern neighbors and the more rural parts of our state tend to be older, mostly because younger generations have moved to urban centers and then had their children there. So there is kind of that dynamic in the Midwest and urban versus rural, where rural areas tend to be a little bit older from that migration that's happened in the past.
Are there any factors related to the pandemic that impacted either migration or birth rates? I remember, you know, some of the stories during the pandemic, people were predicting that we were going to have a baby boom or that we were going to, you know, but I just don't know what bore out or what bore out in that. And did it change? Did it change anything?
It changed things temporarily. Of course, you know, there were more deaths. Obviously, that was a major impact temporarily. There was a little bit of a delay in births just after the beginning of the pandemic. You know, 9 months later, we saw this little bit of a delay, but it really didn't last long. There certainly wasn't a boom. We saw continued declines after kind of that delay kind of worked its way through. And then in terms of migration, we did see some pretty big disruptions also that were temporary. That happened in other states as well, but we saw a really pretty big net loss of people for just a couple of years, 2021 to 2022. And most demographers attribute those disruptions to some changes in college migration, kids not going to school, young people not going to school because, you know, campuses were closed or because many of the classes were remote. But in the more recent years, we've seen that return again to what it looked like before the pandemic. So certainly lots of stuff going on, but we're kind of close to where we were just before the pandemic.
One of the factors that you spoke about this last week when I heard you speak was just the idea that birth rates just aren't what they used to be, and we don't anticipate that changing. And even globally, birth rates are down. Obviously, we talk about immigration, but the number that sticks out with me that I've said a few times since I heard your presentation is net migration to Minnesota last year was only 10,000 people. And I think people see kind of the immigration and then we see out migration, we see death, but at how many people do we need to kind of keep the state going? Is there a number between deaths, retirements, and economic growth?
That's a great question. In terms of just growth and not how it relates to economics, typically more population growth means more economic growth. And so people are really very oriented towards seeing more population growth. One of the big changes that we saw, have seen in recent years is this drop off in growth due to natural change. And that's just the number of births we have minus the number of deaths that we have in any year. And that's where we only added about 10,000, just over 10,000 people due to natural change.
Okay.
That's really a pretty big change for us. We're used to having much higher numbers in past decades, and it's kind of our natural growth engine that we're not even aware of. And that's what's really dissipating now as we age and as people are having fewer children. So in this kind of new growth era where we have low fertility, we have an older population, we're just not growing from our own momentum. And that's why migration becomes such an important source of growth going forward. And that's why we're really looking to see what the domestic migration patterns look like, what international migration patterns might look like in the future. And that's just because we just can't expect that we'll continue to grow as we have in past years.
Obviously, migration is the root word of immigration, and immigration is a huge discussion point. The U.S. has enjoyed immigration. Minnesota has been a place that has welcomed immigrants, adapted. I remember a report from a few years back about how immigration has impacted the state's economy, how workforce and other things were benefited from immigration. Do you project out of what the current immigration policy is and or what that might mean to the state's population in the next, you know, 4 to 6 years?
Well, we do make population projections that have an international migration assumption built into them. But it's really very hard to predict what the level of migration will look like in the coming years. It always is hard to predict it, but especially right now, given kind of the changes that have been happening in the past year or so. So we followed the lead of the Census Bureau that tracks these things, but certainly in our projections, if we don't see the same level of international migration that we have seen in past years, our projections will be overestimating the growth that we anticipated.
You use census data, you use federal data as part of your data sets. Is there any changes proposed or happening at the federal level that, you know, either change the way you get data, the data you do get, what might impact us as we look forward to making sure that we have the best data possible?
Yeah, there's actually one change that's being proposed right now that could have really big consequences for people in Minnesota and really across the U.S., and that is one of our major data sets that we use to track how the state is changing is from the U.S. Census Bureau. It's called the American Community Survey. And there's a proposal right now to make all federal surveys, including decennial census, including American Community Survey, voluntary. I'm sorry, not voluntary, that only two follow-ups could be made. So typically what happens is you ask people to fill out the survey and census workers diligently follow up multiple times until you can get a good representative sample of everyone who's out there, not just the folks who are eager to fill. You know, if I got the form myself, I might be eager to fill it out, but I'm not representative of everyone. So this proposal would cut off the number of follow-ups that could happen. And that could really degrade the quality of the data, particularly for rural areas in Minnesota, for smaller counties, for smaller population groups. We just won't have the representation in that sample that we need. And that's one of our main sources of data to know how.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code THEDIFFERENCE for 30% off every plan. Terms and conditions apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The state is doing.
My guest is Susan Brower. She's the Minnesota State demographer. We're talking about demographic trends in Minnesota, both migration, immigration, births, deaths, all the data and all the things that a state demographer would look at so that we can plan the future of the state. As we look at the future and we look at slower growth, both in human potential, where do you see what might change in Minnesota? What do you see that you think, or, you know, based on history, what changes when a state starts to go through a demographic change like we're experiencing?
Well, one of the things that we have to think about is just how it's going to impact our economic growth and quality of life. You know, population has been the growth engine of economic growth in a way that we don't even think about. It's in the background. But as that slows, we will have to figure out how to make investments so that we have quality of life improvements for people. We have economic growth that we didn't have to pay as much attention to in the past. And by that, I mean continued investments or a renewed commitment to investing in human capital and people's skills and education and training, because if we're not going to have more people, we're going to have more people who are higher skilled, higher educated, can produce goods and services of greater value. The other thing that we have to think about, we also have to invest in technologies, obviously. That's going to be another piece of kind of how to counter this slowdown. I think there's also pretty big changes ahead for public budgets as we slow. And so I think we just have to be cognizant that we're very likely to experience slower population growth, possibly slower economic growth in the future. And it's much more difficult to make public budgets balance under those conditions.
That's one of the things that I think everybody's anticipating where we're going. And there isn't usually in trends like this, there isn't a switch you can flip that brings a bunch of people into Minnesota or changes it. These are longer trends to watch, and it takes some big changes in policy to get a pivot or a change. One of the, you know, factors that I have followed closely just due to some of the work we do is that we have known for over 15 years that we were going to reach a point and the lines were going to be at a point where we would be older than we were younger. And we are at that point now, and we'll now have more seniors than we have school age children. As you have watched this happen, and as you've watched kind of public investments, are there places where you think we're going to have particular strain, or we have a particular opportunity to recruit people or to shift the way maybe other states have dealt with this? Is there anything we can learn from the larger country about how states have dealt with this?
I mean, I guess I would just say off the bat, in terms of just, can we turn population growth around and really increase it? Can we do something in terms of policy to increase our population growth? That it's going to be tough. Fertility rates falling are something that's kind of bigger than us, and they are not particularly responsive to policies when we see them, enacted in Nordic countries, say. I think migrations and domestic migration, so people moving from other states here, sure, we can continue working on that. But that's also another thing that's pretty tough to turn around. These are, you know, the out-migration of people from the Midwest to other places. That's a pattern that's been set for a couple of decades, and that is across the Midwest as well. And so I guess I would point to international immigration as the kind of potential source of growth that we as a country could have an impact on over and above the other sources of growth. But then there's ways to do. Yeah, I mean, I just think it's the most likely policy lever that we have.
And Minnesota has benefited from immigration as a percentage of our growth over the last few years. You look at some of the data here, you know, from 2019 to 2023, we had 60,000 folks whose place of birth was Mexico, 42,000 from Somalia, 30,000 from India, 29,000 from Ethiopia. Much of that is just choked off with our current federal policy. And is there intrastate migration? You know, for instance, you remember when Detroit built auto plants, that led to a surge in Michigan of population and jobs. Are there places in the country that are in the Midwest that are growing, or are all the states that are really growing at a rate southern states or Sunbelt states?
So most of the growth is happening in the South and in the Southwest. South Dakota and North Dakota has seen some growth, but it's been at a much different scale than if it were a state the size of Minnesota. So it's not, certainly not impossible, but it's absolutely a different scale than what we're talking about if we're talking about a much larger state like Michigan, like Minnesota.
Relative to history, is this the first time we've seen this type of slow growth of population in the U.S. or in Minnesota?
This is the first time that we have seen it. It's the first time that we've seen the slowdown. We're really kind of oriented toward the idea that we will always be growing and always keep growing into the future. And our demographics are kind of playing themselves out in a very natural way with higher mortality rates and lower fertility rates, that's just not the case anymore. We're really slowing down just because of the folks who are already living here in Minnesota, who they are and how often they're having children.
As we wrap up here, what's one or two pieces of data that you're watching over the next 5, 10 years? We'll have another census in 5 years, but what are the kind of key indicators that you just kind of keep an eye on, and when the data comes in, you really want to dig into it?
You know, I'm continuing to watch this birth rate. Will it stabilize? Will it continue to fall? Right now, we're at 1.7 births per woman in Minnesota, and that is below replacement fertility. It's a number that's been falling. So that's something that I'm watching. I'm also watching those international immigration numbers. So how much growth will we see in the next year, in the next 2 years, kind of given what we're seeing in terms of federal policy around immigration this year?
Sounds great. Susan Brower, thanks for joining me on Sunday Take.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
When we come back, this week's take. Welcome back to Sunday Take. I'm Blois Olson. This week's take is about the future. I can't predict it, but I've always been very interested in it. And after talking with Susan Brower, the state demographer, it's obviously that the traditional or conventional ways to think about economic growth in our state are going to have some challenges. And so it got me thinking, how does Minnesota grow going forward? And what is it that we're trying to grow? Obviously, we want to grow our economic impact, our jobs, our economic security. And the quality of life that we've enjoyed from our headquarters economies and our job providers really are such that we need to be thinking differently. Last week, Evan Ramstead wrote a piece about the last tech giant in Minnesota was the supercomputer industry. And Controlled Data and Seymour Cray and a family friend of ours, Neil Lincoln, ETA Systems, they built supercomputers here. And those were big jobs, and those were engineering, and there was this Midwestern pride on big computers. That was the 90s and the 80s. And then MedTech really took over as our innovation boom here in Minnesota, and it served us very, very well. And it continues to serve us very, very well. Not to mention agribusiness, retail with Target at Best Buy, financial services like Allianz and Ameriprise. So what does the future growth of Minnesota look like? What can we lean into? Where might we find some opportunities? Well, we had a link in Morning Take this week about the growth of our current stock market and GDP. And the fact from Financial Times with that 40% of all US GDP growth this year and 80% of stock market growth this year are related to AI or artificial intelligence. And so I started to think after the North Star Summit, and as other companies talk about AI, and I think about it and learn about it, and we see it in ChatGPT and some fun apps that we can lean into. Can it make it efficient? Will it replace workers? We seem to be asking all the doom and gloom questions. So for Minnesota, let's ask some of the questions about what does it mean going forward? Where are our opportunities and how can we take advantage of them? Mayo Clinic CEO at the North Star Summit talked about how they are using AI alongside nurses and practitioners to minimize healthcare mistakes, to make healthcare more efficient. The technology of those pieces is really important. And so what does that mean? Where do we go with it? I think as we continue to learn more and more about AI, there's going to be fear. But if Mayo Clinic is leaning in on healthcare, and you bet that Medtronic and Boston Scientific and all the other med tech companies are also leaning in, that's a big part of Minnesota's future. How do we make sure that research, that development stays here and becomes a new Minnesota export? Then there was a headline about Xcel Energy using AI to detect fires, to detect storms, where damage would come from. When the power goes out, that'd be easier. But we have these fire risks now, and Xcel is going to use that there. Well, we've been told over and over again that AI will require data centers. And Minnesota has some data centers, but it is looking to develop more. The challenge with data centers are that they're big construction projects and they have fewer numbers of employees than similar size projects on an ongoing basis, maybe a couple hundred. But the idea of the auto plant, like the Ford plant used to be with thousands of employees, isn't part of a data center. But what we do know is that the data centers will create wealth, and that wealth should be taxed. We need to make sure we're competitive so that the data centers come to Minnesota. But some of the ways in which data center developers look at providing revenue to the government are innovative and unique. Rather than just a property tax, maybe they pay a stipend for services. You think about the airport. AI will definitely be a part of the airport. So you heard Susan Brower talk about our declining workforce, our aging population. And there is natural fear for folks who are worried AI is going to take their job. But think of it this way, as I would for my kids. Let's make sure that we have the jobs of the future in Minnesota related to AI. Let's make sure that we have the infrastructure in Minnesota to make sure we can support these things. I remember when we were making sure that we had ample broadband for the entire internet in the early 2000s, and that we had to expand our capacity from Chicago. Now, of course, we want broadband in every home. That's the infrastructure. We need to have the infrastructure in order to recruit and retain the human talent that our state will need to grow in the future. Higher ed is a big part of that. The University of Minnesota, St. Thomas, should lean in heavily to making sure they have programs to research, teach, and learn. Computer programmers are some of the first that are worried because code can be recreated by AI. So how do we look differently at the computer science department at the University of Minnesota? How do we make sure that we're figuring out the job of 10 years from now? Two other takeaways from this week's conversations. One is government regulation of today is too slow and too long and too cumbersome for the speed of AI and technology. Whether it's training workers, whether it's teaching, government has to find a way to keep up, specifically here in Minnesota. And then secondly, we're not going to be able to just keep up. We're going to have to see where we think it's going and make some bets. Minnesota's made big bets before on agriculture, on med tech. Most of our bets have paid off. A lot of them have had to do with education and infrastructure. Those are the bets of the future that we need to focus on in order to attract the capital, attract the workers, and make sure that we maintain our growth pattern that we've had for several decades. I'm Blois Olson. That's the Sunday Take. I'll be with Vanita this week at 6:20, and we'll be back next week with a new edition of the Sunday Take. Find all of our work at thedailyagenda.com. Until next week, have a good one.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
People say, "I got you," all the time. Dads say it to their kids the first time they ride a bike. Friends say it to other friends when they buy them lunch. It's a good thing when someone's got you. It's especially good when someone's got you with important things like your health. And that's where WeShare's got you. We got you with a massive nationwide network of over 1 million doctors, which means you can likely keep your current doctor you know and trust. We got you with affordable prices that can save individuals up to $5,000 annually compared to traditional insurance, and save families even more. And we've got you with over 68,000 CVS Caremark pharmacies across the country. If you're tired of overpriced health insurance bills, come visit us at WeShareHealth.org or call 1-888-WeShare. Other smart Americans are making the switch every day. In a world filled with companies that cost you, it's nice to have one that's got you. We share health. We got you.